This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Tim Short. How are you, Tim?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good indeed. You're a member of the Wine Guild Education, is that right?
Well, I'm a director of an organisation called the Wine Guild of the United Kingdom, and we've recently launched an initiative in the education field, which we're calling, amazingly enough, Wine Guild Education. And that's also the name of the website, wineguildeducation.org. So I can tell you a little bit about who the Wine Guild are, if you'd like to start there.
Yeah, let's talk about the Wine Guild.
Okay.
Before we get into that, what we're planning on doing is talking about some of the educational programs you guys do. Also, I want to talk a wee bit about some of the apprenticeship levy that the government provides and talk about that later on. But as I say, let's find out about the Wine Guild of the United Kingdom first and then work our way into it.
Absolutely. So we're not one of these thousand-year-old guilds that exist in the city, but we do have a certain amount of history. So our origins are in the 80s when Lord Montagu of Beaulieu was on a visit to an organisation in France called the FICB. And that's French for the International Federation of Wine Guilds. And it was pointed out to him that there was no UK or England and Wales member of that organisation, which is a little bit like the FA not being in FIFA. Okay. And without making any comments on the position of England in world football, I think at the time that was said to him in the 80s, it was possibly a little bit of a joke. It's not now. So that's our legal reason for existing, if you like. We are the UK voice, or the England and Wales voice in that international federation.
Okay, and that they're mainly a producers' federation, though, aren't they, as opposed to a drinkers' federation?
We do have a role to represent wine producers in England. That's one of our three core missions. We share a director in the form of Julia Trustrum Eve with Wine GB. I think you've had her on the show
quite a few times. Yeah, she's a good lady, that.
She is. So that's also one of our aims. We're a charity, so both the Wine Guild and Wine Guild Education are not-for-profits, which I think has certain advantages. We'll come on to talk about the education, but there's no profit element coming out of that income stream. The board is a group of industry wine professionals, long-time hospitality professionals. We've also got some educational people. So I've got a couple of PhDs. I was a vice president of an investment bank, so I also have a finance aspect. And together, a lot of these people have come into one place to provide a new educational initiative, which, as you say, will benefit from very significant and very favourable apprenticeship levy funding.
Okay, and that's the Wine Guild Education. You said you've got a couple of PhDs, but one's in physics, and is it psychology the other one?
Well, philosophical psychology. So technically it was in philosophy, and you're going to ask me now what this has got to do with wine. And that's a slightly tricky question, but I think, you know, I think that does give you an indication that I know my way around the educational system a little bit, and I can contribute on that side to this particular initiative.
Okay. The Wine Guild of the UK, all over its website, it talks about it being for conviviality more than anything else. Are you is it like a drinkers and diners club, really?
I don't think that's...
Because reading the website, that's sort of what it looks like.
We do, under normal circumstances, we try to do as much of that as possible. There is a social function, and we have wine dinners and wine tastings. Obviously, all of that's been in suspension for the last year, and we'd like to get back to that. But we're also a serious organisation. We just happen to really like wine.
Fair enough. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. What is, though, there's something about an insignia. Where senior members have to pay for an insignia and junior members don't. And I was quite surprised at the age limit for the junior members being 35 years, up to 35, which is normally juniors are sort of sub-18.
Yeah, well, we are, I don't know, I think 35 is quite young now, sadly. I wish I could disagree with that. I mean, there are certain, if you are a guild in the UK, there are certain sort of ancient ceremonies and insignia and robes and things that you have to go through. But we don't want people to think that this is going to get in the way of apprenticeship training or anything like that. We're not going to be, it's not like Hogwarts. We're not going to be dressing all of the apprentices up in gowns just because we have to, we go through various induction ceremonies at the Vintners Guild. It's I regard it as fun. Some people see it as a little bit off-putting, but for me, it's just fun, you know.
Okay, well, let's talk about the Wine Guild education. What are the services you guys offer, and is it just to your members or is it outside? You know, what's the story there?
It's absolutely not focused on members. We're looking to get anyone in who's interested in what we're calling a wine service career pathway. So yes, it's very heavily focused on wine and wine knowledge, but it's really about delivering wine in a hospitality setting. Obviously, that sector has been very badly hit by the current environment, and we regard all of our educational offerings as being a way of building resilience in businesses for that situation. We're really interested now in recruiting employers, because what we would like to start up with is employers coming to us and say, well, we have a bunch of things ready to go right now, but we'll do it on a bespoke basis. So employers come to us and they say exactly the sort of questions you're asking. How does the apprenticeship levy work, and how can we leverage that with the courses that you offer? So maybe I'll just say something about the apprenticeship levy first.
Okay. Yep.
So if you are a normal size employer, which means your payroll is less than £3 million a year, which is 98% of UK employers and probably more in hospitality, you're eligible for apprenticeship funding. And that means that the government will pay 95% of your training costs, which is a pretty extraordinary deal. I think you have to agree. And indeed, that increases to 100% if your apprentices are between the ages of 16 and 18, which some of them might well be. There are, in addition, incentives right now as part of the COVID response to encourage hiring apprentices who've been made redundant or are on furlough, which is very, very much a relevant situation in the current environment. So we're in a position to provide apprenticeship training to the value of £4,500 for basically nothing to you as an employer. And that's per apprentice. And we'd like to start with 20, 30 on an individual course. We could do more. We can scale this up as much as you want. And as I've mentioned, both the Wine Guild and the Education Initiative are charities. So every pound that comes in from the government will be spent, and we've been investing it heavily on the training provision. So we've been working away for 6 or 12 months now on producing a very wide range of materials. And we're basically ready to go. We'd like to start with a pilot scheme with an employer and get this thing moving.
Okay, so you haven't run the course so far yet. Is this going to be you're looking to do the first ones, or?
That's correct. We're looking to start with a pilot scheme, and the issue is, as I've mentioned, I don't want to talk about COVID very much, but the issue is that the sector is frankly in an existential crisis. People are really, really struggling. Mm. And we would argue that with some of the things that we can offer in the direction of multitasking for hospitality professionals, on the direction of upselling wines, so we think that all of your hospos are going to have to sell wine. We think that's something that would protect your revenues. But the position in the industry is extremely adverse. It's almost like we're trying to sell a life raft to a drowning man, but he's already underwater. You know, I mean, I'm not sure if that, I've just made that metaphor up, so I don't know how appropriate it is, but it's really, really tough times. But we think that if people can find a minute just to get away from the question of day-to-day survival, we think that this whole package forms a compelling proposition for moving forward.
Okay, you've got three courses that I could see. You've got a fast-track hospitality service, the hospitality professional wine service pathway, which is that $4,500 one-year course, and you've got a one-day introduction to wine and service. Are they all eligible for the apprenticeship?
They are not. So only the hospitality professional wine service pathway would be eligible for it, because there are certain criteria for an apprenticeship. And one of them is that it's basically a year, and we would deliver it in 6 to 9 months. So the other two offerings that we have there, a one-day intro, it's almost a taster, if you like. So that would be an entry-level introduction to what's going on, and employers and indeed their staff could get a good idea of what we're going to offer. As I've said, the Hospitality Professional Wine Service Pathway is the main flagship apprenticeship piece of funding, educational offering. And then we've got a sort of intermediate level fast track hospitality service. And this is really a 6-week refresher. So that's probably more for people not coming to the industry from outside with no experience. That's really going to maybe refresh people that have perhaps been out of the industry for a while because of the COVID situation. And again, as with the hospitality professional pathway, we would be looking at multitasking and food matching.
So the fast track service isn't part of that apprenticeship levy. It's only the one year course. Yeah,
that's correct. Yes.
Okay. I had a look at some of the various topic headings on your 1 year course, the wine service pathway 1 year course, $4,500. Quite a chunky price. But given that you don't have to pay for it, hopefully that's quite handy.
We think that's actually an advantage. We think that it's a chunky price, so we are able to use all of that money. As I say, we're a charity, on providing a really first-class piece of training, and you're not paying for it. So that's actually a plus.
So let's look at some of the headings. So you mentioned the word multitasking quite a bit, and all your courses talk about multitasking. What do you mean by that?
So I think where the world has been is that you've had this demarcation between highly trained sommeliers and hospitality staff who are maybe more focused, or have been more focused, on being friendly, getting the food to the table. And we think now that the new world is going to be much more where everyone has to do everything. And if your hospitality staff have got a decent knowledge of food matching and the menu and the wine that you have available, and plenty of people do this at some level, but we want to make it really, really quite professional, then you will be able to have upselling going on. So if the chef has a particular dish which goes very well with a Kiwi Sauvignon Blanc, and you know that you've got three Kiwi Sauvignon Blancs, and you can talk with some authority about the differences between them, and one of them's got more minerality and one of them's got more citrus freshness, you are going to be in a much stronger position as the front of house contact person to upsell in that direction. And revenue is what keeps you alive through COVID.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough. Other things, like other topics, because these are weird topics usually, you know, because I don't really get involved on the service side of things. I'm more of a hardcore wine geek side of things rather than the sommelier side. So in terms of the units, you've got things like professional hospitality service, generating revenue, positive communication. There's a lot of positive thinking, attitudes and behavior, all that sort of stuff. There seems to be quite a lot really about attitude and behavior in class, or not in class, in the work environment. Do you want to tell us why there's such an emphasis on that?
Yeah, I think you clearly need to have a very serious level of wine knowledge, and we will be offering that. But customer service is about creating a positive guest experience. It's about all of those soft behaviors. And if you are 16 to 18, then it's possible that you might need a bit of coaching that we can provide on that side of things. And I haven't actually mentioned this up to now, but the course material is being generated by a long-time hospitality professional by the name of Véronique Bontois. She's got a very long and impressive industry CV. So she's really in a very good place to assist people in just generating those soft behaviors, which are they're quite difficult to teach. Mm. But you can get it across by showing people exactly what the correct way to put the wine down on the table is, and exactly how you address customers, and how to be friendly, how to smile, how to just make people feel at their ease. And these things are underestimated, but we don't underestimate.
Yeah, okay. It seemed like there was almost as much emphasis on that as opposed to the sort of core wine things that I would normally consider as core wine, which I suppose is why it's more of a sommelier-led course, because service is quite important from that point of thing. The course itself is 1 year. Yes. And it's mainly online materials. Is there much tasting going on? Do they actually need to taste wine? Because there's no evaluation on tasting skills. And I couldn't see anything in your, what the main blocks of what the course is talking about tasting technique.
We probably won't assess people too much on tasting because we think there are courses available that focus on that. And we are really more interested in giving people wine knowledge. There's clearly some tasting going to be involved. But the focus is as you've suggested, it's going to be on how we get people to serve wine and how they understand it.
The course itself, according to your website, says it's a level 2 course, which is normally like a WSET level 2 course is 3 days. But you're doing yours over a year and cost it charging 10 times the price. Given that your course is all over Zoom, you don't have any venue costs, you don't have any wine costs. I'm just interested in the pricing of it and how it all fits together. I realize the money you get from the government, the person paying for it doesn't pay for it, but it doesn't seem like a good value proposition.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if we did the whole thing online, then I think that would be a good objection. And while we might be forced to be heavily online during the COVID situation, that's actually not the plan. We would very much like to get into employer workplaces. And partly that's just logistically more sensible because we will be sending one or two trainers in as opposed to 30 apprentices coming to us. But the other reason is that you can do much more on a face-to-face basis actually in the location. So we don't want to talk entirely in an abstract way about Austrian food and Austrian wine matching with it. We want to be in the cellar that you have right now and talk about the wines that you've got right now. And what's the menu looking like right now? And what are the constraints of what's your table size? What's the how's the setup right now? We can we think add value doing it that way in real time. So we can train people on what's in the cellar right now, and they can go and sell it an hour afterwards.
Yeah.
So certainly, while we might be forced to be entirely online or heavily online. Initially, we would want to get our way from that as quickly as possible, but we would definitely be aiming to put in significant amounts of face time.
Okay, and that assumes everybody's coming from the same workplace. Do you not see situations where you might get one person from one workplace and one person from another workplace, rather than say 10 from one particular workplace? Because quite often restaurants and that, they need to manage their staffing level so that they've got the right people on board at the right times. Yeah.
I think it would be harder for us to put it together on a sort of individual basis. Certainly on the pilot scheme, which is what we're looking to start up now, it would be much easier for us if an employer said to us, okay, we've got 30 hospitals. We want you to train them in groups of 10, come in on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. If we're further down the track, we're set up and running and we get a lot of inquiry from individuals who are looking to join the industry, then yes, sure, we could put something together on a bespoke basis. But what I would have to say there is that the apprenticeship funding is available to employers and not to individuals. So that would be a major issue, I think, for most individuals who are thinking certainly about the hospitality professional pathway. But if individuals wanted to come in and do the one day intro or do the fast track hospitality and they had funding for it, then we'd be very happy to do it.
Okay. And the last thing is just you've got a service called you're trying to get a service called the Flying Sommelier. That seemed quite different. What's that all about?
Yeah, that's a little bit of an off-piste thing, because that's not really a training course. But what we've observed is that, sadly, lots of hospitality businesses are laying off their sommeliers and their sommelier teams, even some quite significant ones. I won't name names, but people who've got a reputation for being focused on wine have actually lost their sommelier teams. Meanwhile, I'm aware of contacts in the industry who say to me things like, yeah, we used to have a guy who was great at selling wine, and he used to get 100 people in that ballroom on a Wednesday evening, and we lost that guy And now we don't have those people. And it'd be great if we could get that revenue back. So we're seeing a situation where some people have got sommeliers that they don't think they can afford anymore. I would personally argue that that's short-sighted, but that's the decision that some people are making. Other people are aware of the revenue generation opportunities that could exist, but don't think that they can themselves, this is the other side of the coin, don't think they can themselves justify paying a full-time sommelier or sommelier team for a once-a-month type of operation. So we thought maybe there's a way we could facilitate putting those two situations together. So we are working with a gentleman called Matteo Montone, who was Young Sommelier of the Year, I think, 3 years ago. And he's supervising this idea. But we would like to basically join those two ends together. If you would like some sommelier input, but you don't, but you'd like it on a consultancy basis, then we will arrange that for you. And likewise, if you've got a sommelier team that you think is underemployed, but you would like to retain them, then we might be able to help on that side as well.
Okay. All right then, Tim. I think we'll wrap it up there.
I'd like to say that we're all very grateful that you've had us on the show, because it's a great way of getting the word out. And I think if people can understand that really this is something that's going to be very, very financially advantageous for employers and very good for assisting the individuals in developing their careers in what's a very hard hit sector, then that's great.
Not a problem, Tim. That was brilliant, actually. I think there's quite a lot of, well, you can't say it's not a value proposition when the government's picking up the bill. And I do like the idea of revenue generation, et cetera, and all that sort of stuff. That is quite important. That isn't, there's a lot of courses that don't do it as well, perhaps. More focused on the wine rather than the service outside of it. So good luck.
Yeah, we'd like to do both. But see, yes, it is about wine service and not just wine.
Cool. All right then, Tim. Cheers very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.